And can we just have a word of prayer? Let's just pray. Let's pray. It's getting better and better. Father, we just thank you. This is your church. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. It's as you lead us that we follow. And Lord, there's absolutely nothing we know except that which you reveal to us. There is absolutely nothing I, as a mere mortal, without your breath, without your spirit, that I can speak. So Lord, I ask, inspire me. Breathe upon me afresh. Let me hear you clearly in the simplicity of your word. Let me translate what you're saying to the hearts of men. As I receive watering from you, may I be just that vessel, that channel, to water everyone. Water the hearts, purify the hearts, uproot what you didn't plant and plant new seeds, and let everyone, as our hearts are open before you, let our hearts be translated, transformed into a good ground, and let your word like a seed take firm root and germinate and bring forth, that we all, what we hear today, we will not forget, but we will remember to do and bring forth fruit for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So please, let's remember, we defined last week the word new. You see, it can be very strange, but then that's what new means. We have stepped out prophetically out of a lockdown, just like Noah. He stepped out, he was under lockdown with his family and all the animals that survived that pandemic, the very first global pandemic that we see a parallel right in the Bible. Under lockdown, 1 year, approximately 2 months. And then God spoke to Noah in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, which will be the very first scripture that we will be looking at today. And last week we started this, a simple teaching. Like I said, I like to keep it very, very simple. Simple enough that young 3-year-old Ara will be able to comprehend something. And God bless Ara. Is not only just comprehending, he also memorized, you know, the confession, the daily confession we always take. So let me start us off with that confession, everybody. And if you don't mind, those in the studio, those at home, if you don't mind to stand up with us and let's declare, everybody all together. So let's declare. Let's just stand. Thank you. I'm not Ara. My brain has accumulated all sorts of information for over 5 decades. So Ara's brain is still fresh. That's why he can memorize it. But that's not an excuse anyway. All right, let's declare in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I arise today.
And I shine.
Because God is my light and salvation.
I arise because
the light of God shines into me. And through me. Into every darkness in the world. In Jesus' name. I am radiant. With the glory. Splendor. Majesty. And honor. Of the Lord. The glory and brilliance
of the Lord upon me
makes me to shine before nations. In the name of Jesus, people come to my light and I shine with the glory and brilliance of the Lord. I create solutions and solve problems on the earth in the name of Jesus. I create solutions and I solve problems to the glory of God People's problems
I solve
and they bring their gold
and
silver to me,
to the glory of God.
In the midst of darkness,
my light will always shine.
And I will always shine.
All
right, please let me take it very well. In the midst of darkness,
my
light will always be seen. And I will always shine. To the glory of God.
In the name of Jesus,
I am radiant
with the glory,
splendor,
majesty,
and honor
of the Lord
in Jesus'
name.
And everybody shouted,
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Please be seated. Thank you very much.
Genesis
chapter 8
and verse 20,
the first thing
we see
Noah
do
when he
steps out of
that lockdown.
The
Bible tells us
Noah
builded
an altar
unto the Lord,
and he
took of every clean beast
and
of every clean fowl
and
offered
burnt
offerings.
Please note
that word, plural.
On
the altar,
verse 21
tells us, and
the Lord smelled
a soothing
aroma.
Then the Lord said
in his heart, I will
never again curse the
ground for man's
sake,
although
the
imagination
of man's heart
is evil
from his youth.
Nor
will I again destroy
every
living thing
as I have
done.
While
the earth remains,
seed time
and harvest,
cold
and heat,
winter
and summer,
day
and night
shall
not cease.
Amen.
So
it's going to be part
two today
of
My
Heart,
My
New
Altar.
Thank you,
Ara.
My
Heart,
My New
Altar. Please, can
everybody say that?
My Heart, My New Altar.
All right. So,
the
word new
is what we
looked at.
The word
new,
we looked at it
last week. It means
something fresh.
It's
unfamiliar.
It's unprecedented.
It's
unusual.
It's
creative.
It is different.
Listen,
that is why
we
stepping out as a
church,
as a people of God,
what you're
seeing
literally
happening
even before
us.
We don't
have church
like we
knew it
pre-pandemic.
Most
of us here,
and
especially
if you have
been
part of the
Love Assembly
story
and the
journey,
we were all
in
the comfort of our
homes
because
there was a
national lockdown
declared.
And
the churches
were shut.
And
everybody started
worshiping
online.
Everybody
started scrambling to
see,
how can I
be part of a
service
from
the comfort of my
living room,
some people from
their kitchen,
some from their
bedroom.
And some of
us have formed new
habits
unconsciously.
Think
about it. You just wake
up, you go
downstairs or you stay
in your room, you just
switch on your device
and you see
this funny man,
you know,
showing on your screen
and
staring at
you
and talking
for the past
1 year.
You know,
we can get
so comfortable
that,
you know, that becomes
the
new
normal.
But that is
very abnormal,
because when you
look at the scriptures,
Jesus
said,
where
two
or three
are gathered
in
my name,
there am I in
the midst of them.
Yes,
technology
helps us
to now
reach
across
the world,
and to
the glory of God,
statistics
showed
that
throughout the
period of the
lockdown and the
pandemic, people
were actually seeking
for God.
And
if you are
joining and you are
online
and you're part of this
broadcast,
it's not an accident.
We
want you to
sit back
and
understand
that God
loves you
and God
has a plan
for your life.
And
We looked at the word heart. So when you hear the word heart, we're talking about, let's remember, the inner man, that man on the inside, the mind, the real man, but nobody truly sees. Nobody sees your thinking. Nobody sees your understanding, the way you comprehend things, your conscience. Nobody knows whether you have good courage, of bad courage, mild courage, of no courage. That's the heart. And when we are talking about my heart, we're talking about that place where nobody really sees our innermost being. And that is the real you. The real you is not the facade, the outward. Even God does not look at whether you have a mohawk haircut, a drawback, or whether you plaited your hair, or whether you put on cornrows, or you put on, you know, apple rows, or whatever rows. Whether you have eyelashes, eye pencil, or no lashes. God sees beyond all that. God looks at the heart. God looks at the thinking. Because really, our thoughts is really who we are. And when the word of God comes like this, it is addressed at our hearts. And I pray that that is exactly what will happen. The word of God will not return to him. The word you're hearing today will make you fruitful. The word you hear today will make you prosper, to go forward in life, to become everything God created you for. So, my heart, my new altar. What did we define as altar? If anybody remembers from last week, we said the altar is a place of Somebody do I've missed you all, you know. Say Balotelli, Something dies at the place of altar. It's a place of slaughter, literally speaking. That's what the altar is. When you look into the Old Testament, the Bible, actually, that Genesis chapter 8 verse 20 is the first place we see really written in the Bible, literally written, that an altar was built. So, a place of slaughter. Noah comes out of the ark. God didn't tell him to build that altar. He builds the altar. The last instruction God gave him, you go out of the ark. And listen, to reiterate what we're saying, God will tell you to go out. God will tell you to rise up, take up your bed and walk. God will tell you, go show yourself to the priest. But God will never force you to do it. So if you are still sitting down, you are still under lockdown, artificially, superficial lockdown, and God is saying, go out, it is time for you to go out, but God will not come and force you out. The altar Noah built, it was something new. It was something that was fresh, unfamiliar, unprecedented, unusual. Now, the services we're having now, whether we like it or not, the way of being church and doing church is going to change, has actually come to change. I personally had a strong conviction that God himself, like Jesus did when he first rode into Jerusalem, and he went straight into the church, the temple of the day, and drove out everybody. They were buying, they were selling, they were exchanging money, they were selling doves, they were doing all sorts of things. They were using the temple as a channel, as a business route. People were taking animals and passing it through the temple. They were shopping, buying, selling. Jesus entered that temple and drove everybody out. I believe strongly that is the parallel that happened, that churches had to shut so that Jesus can literally reset the temple. The way that church has gone into something else. And let me tell us something, and if you're watching, and I say this with every conviction and with every deference and respect, if you go back to the way and you're trying to do church the same way it was before the lockdown and the shutdown, then you are only going to start what God is killing, to restart it. God is resetting, not restarting. And that is why today we have the digital, physical, digital. Some of you watching online may never step into a physical building, but you are comfortable Because this is God's own way of reaching you. And I remembered many years ago, someone came to Liverpool to worship with us and started asking, do we have anything that we upload online? Because I'm going to a nation, I don't want to mention the country, where it is forbidden to even carry the Bible or even hear the good news, the gospel. So we started uploading messages, and the person will upload, go on the internet and listen. This was many years ago. So we recognize the fact that some people may never have the opportunity to step into a physical building where people gather. But online, on the digital space, they can hear and listen and be part of God's church. And if you are such a person and you're online, welcome and welcome and sit back. So, just a quick recap, and then we will take it slowly, and then next week we'll look at the part three. But what is it we want to look at today? Number one, to remind us, Noah built that altar willingly. God didn't tell him to build it. It was something he did. Remember, it was something new, unprecedented, unusual. It was something kind of unfamiliar. But what was Noah doing? He went, he built that altar, and the Bible said he took out of every clean animal, clean bird, and offered them as a burnt offering. Let me tell you what that means. He took the animals, slaughtered them, and put them right on the altar. The altar usually is an elevated platform where they put a sacrifice unto God. The whole sacrifice, not half. He didn't take half of the animal and put it. No, he took the whole and offered it as a burnt offering. The fire comes and consumes everything. So he didn't hold back. He didn't take a little. He didn't give 99% and held back one. So when we're talking of burnt offerings, it's something entirely that you surrender. This thing, this action Noah took was symbolic. I surrender all that I am and all that I have to you, 100%. It's a new beginning. Remember, the word new means creative. It means different. You see, when new things happen, it's an opportunity to be creative. And that's why those of us who survived the pandemic, let me congratulate you. And that's not demeaning those unfortunately passed away. But you see, if you're alive at this time and you are still breathing, this is the time for you to be creative. But the first thing you need to be is to become a new creation. And a new creation starts with you having a new heart. That's why we're talking about my new heart, my new altar. Now, altars are built willingly. God will not force you. God may instruct, like we will see as we go on in this study, instruct people to build altars, but God won't force you to build it. So Noah here does that willingly. You see, when we're talking about God, our creator, our source, God never forces us to do anything. Listen, he will not force. Because when it involves force, it's no longer love. Listen, somebody, if you are trying to force people or manipulate people or kind of influence people so they can love you, that is evil. That's not God. God will never manipulate. God will always respect man's, woman's fundamental, what I call fundamental human choice. You know, in the world we say fundamental human right. But you and I know that that's not true. The United Nations talks about it. But there are nations in the world, they will deny you fundamental human right. It's just there, you know, black and white, but they can still take away your rights. But not with God. God will not take away your will. God will not take away your free will. God will always give us the opportunity to choose him or to reject. And when we are living in this time, just like Noah, it's an opportunity to do something creative and to dare to be different. No pressure, but you just make up your mind. This new earth, this new beginning, this new season, I choose to be different and I choose to become creative. Because first of all, our real altar, the place of sacrifice, the place where something must die, is first of all right there on our hearts. And last week we saw Romans chapter 12. So come with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. So the altar is a place of slaughter. So what do we slaughter? Because I want us to understand the application. Yes, we're looking at Noah. We're looking at what Noah does. You know, how does that concern me? How does that concern you? We are just looking at the parallel in Romans chapter 12, and I read from the New King James Version. The Bible declares, and I read, it says there, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, the first altar you and I willingly need to build to God is our hearts. That's why this message again, my heart, my new altar. Like Noah, the first thing we should do is to build the altar, and that altar is our hearts. We surrender to him. That's just the link to let us see where we stopped last week and where we are going. And upon the altar, it's a place of slaughter. Something must always die. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 especially tells us what dies. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's not something we do once. We saw the mistake of Noah, because if you read on, that is the only time he builds an altar and offers burnt offering. We never read years after that Noah did this. But today, we will see those who built altars in the Bible, and they didn't build just one, and we'll see how that applies to us. So let's remember, last week, you know, I had a wonderful discussion with, I won't mention her name. I won't mention her name at all, but her husband calls her Sissy, you know, and all that. I'm not mentioning her name. We had a very good discussion and about this, so I need to clarify this. You see, an altar is literally, let's remember, is what? A place of slaughter. So if you build a place of slaughter and you don't slaughter anything on that place gradually will just become a monument, will just be symbolic, and a matter of time, you might even forget why it was built. Because the purpose of an altar is actually to make some form of sacrifice. Under the Old Testament, you will see altars built. Some of them, animals were offered on them. But some of them, it was just for worship. The whole idea behind the building of the altar is to make some form of sacrifice. How many of us have heard this? Let us therefore offer sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving, sacrifice, even prayer. There's something in the Bible, they call it the evening sacrifice. It's a time they will all gather for the evening sacrifice to come and pray, to come and commune. So when you build an altar, the purpose of it is for worship. Under the new, We don't need to offer animals anymore. We don't need to offer bulls and goats. Why? Because Jesus has been made that eternal sacrifice. Once and for all, what he just wants now is not for us to come every year and be offering bulls, goats, and as meal offering and, you know, wave offerings. No. You see, all that under the Old Testament, in the new dispensation, we must, first of all, the altar of our hearts build. Literally, what that means is just to surrender. You know, I love this song. We sang it last week. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything. What's that song again? Give me the lines. Please respond. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. And then the next line says, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. So the altar, remember, is always built willingly. So we surrender our hearts, and daily, what are the sacrifices? You see, an altar without the sacrifice becomes useless. So there must be some form of sacrifice on the altar. So we see the parallel in the old, and now how do we liken it to the new? So that's what we're looking at today. So let us go further, and today I will let us see by the Spirit of God the mistake of Noah, some of the things we will learn from the first altars we see in the Bible, and what we can glean and how to avoid some of these things and what we ought to do. I've learned one thing. Don't just keep telling a child, don't do this, 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 don't do this. Please tell the child what they can do. Do you want me to repeat myself? All a child hears from you, and some of us are adults, all we've heard all our lives is, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But we are never told what we can do. Thou shalt not steal. I can see a son, a 10-year-old son, looking at his mom's face. I'm not looking in their direction. Maybe he's trying to say, yes, mommy, listen to this. That word, that's a rhema for you. That's a rhema for you, mom. Please, let us know what we can do, not what we cannot do. Because we just end up being zombies. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not this. Thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt not do. But do you realize that God said, thou shalt worship the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And do you know he also said, you shall love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not just, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, da-da, da-da, da-da. Please, I want to know what I can do. Thank you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But excuse me, all things is also in context. You can't lie, because lying to is something, because God cannot lie. Please tell me, the children who are in-house, tell me the things you cannot do. You cannot marry two wives. Are you a child? Your wife is watching online. Yeah. Neto, that was your husband. I know you can't see him. He said you can't marry two wives, so you've got him for life. All right, you've got him. You've got him where you wanted him. Yeah, please, Echo, shout out to me. 10-year-old Andrew. Andrew was 10 on Thursday, last Thursday. Come on, Andrew. Yo. Wow. I like that 10-year-old pattern. When I was your age, I used to, you know, have that pattern and feel cool. tell me some things. The Bible says you can do all things. But is it true? Tell me what you cannot do. You can't commit suicide. You're not meant to. All right, that's a word. Perhaps you're watching online and you're feeling suicidal. Please, I don't joke with words like that when I hear. Please, let's just pray. Let's just pray. Please, everybody. Father, we commit anyone feeling so low right now, feeling suicidal, feeling they should give up. Lord God Almighty, as your word has gone forth, whether in here or those watching online, we rebuke that spirit of suicide. Listen, there is more for you than against you. There is more ahead of you than what's gone behind you. What has died, please let go. You are a living sacrifice, and in the land of the living, you will fulfill the number of your days. Listen, there is hope, and the hope is only for the living. And because you are still alive, please don't do that. Don't take your life. God loves you, and He's delivered you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, tell me one thing you can do. Yes. He said he can watch TV. I like that. But don't watch too much TV. Don't watch TV when you should be revising for that exam you're doing in September. Amen. Anyway, the whole idea is, please stop telling me what I can't do. Can you please tell me what I can do? And God has given us that parallel. So, anyway, let's quickly now move on. The problem with Noah was that he built an altar on the earth. But the problem, there was still a problem of the heart. God acknowledged it in that Genesis chapter 8. So if you build an altar on the earth, which I, you know, we see happening. You know, on Thursday, I shared with us a story of a young man. He was always leading the family altar, but his heart was evil. He was caught in a cult and doing evil things. So a physical family altar, you know, a place, you know, where family gathers every day and we pray. And we can turn that into nothing but a monument, because the first altar is the altar of the heart before the altar on the earth. And some symbolic things we will share with us today to let us see what some of these altars are and what it could be. So Noah builds altar on the earth, but the altar of his heart still was an issue. And that is what God, through Jesus, came to solve. Because God said in that Genesis 8, the imagination of the and the thoughts of the heart was evil. So God, through Jesus Christ, gave us a new heart. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the altar of my heart first, before I build any altar on the earth. Noah builds the altar, he offers sacrifices, God smells it, but down many years, many descendants of Noah, heart was still a problem of mankind. Heart of man, desperately wicked, the heart of man, evil, and that is what God looks at. And when we hear messages like this, it's to help us examine our hearts. Where am I? What are my thoughts? What am I thinking towards my neighbor? What am I even thinking about myself? Because if you think about yourself lowly, like, you know, a while ago, and I believe God has delivered that person or persons from that thought of suicide, it's gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Start thinking good thoughts about yourself. Start thinking the plans of God for your life. He says, the thoughts I have towards you, they are thoughts of good. I have good plans for you. They are ahead of you. There is more ahead of you than what's behind you. Yes, you've fallen. Yes, you failed, but that's not the end of your life. There is still hope for you, and you have a blessed hope in Christ Jesus. So God, through Jesus, gave everyone the opportunity to have a new heart. That's the starting point. You will only become religious and do religious sacrifices and religious things if the altar of your heart is not right with God. Anything you do on the earth will just be temporarily. Have no substance. All right. So let's quickly look at the altars we see built after Noah. And I will quickly make a commentary. We'll build on it more next week. In Genesis chapter 12 was the second altar mentioned, okay, in the Bible. And Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, giving us the context of this story. God told Abraham, leave your country, leave your family, get out of your father's house, and go to a land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Listen, remember, an altar is something you do willingly. God will tell you, rise up. But God will not pull you up. You are the one to take the step. Jesus will say, go, show yourself to the priests. You are the one to go. You know those 10 lepers? The Bible says as they went, they were healed. Some of us are still sitting down and not fully obeying. You've heard God, but you've not obeyed. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to do. That's why the Bible says we should not be hearers only, but doers of the word. Don't say I was blessed by that message I heard. No, it's not in the hearing. The real blessing is when you do it. When you do what God instructs. Faith without works is dead. So God speaks to Abraham, get out, leave. Abraham didn't sit down there. He left. Problem, he actually did not leave fully. We know that story. Lot went with him. And you know the problem later. But that's not our focus today. But then he gets to the place in verse 7. The Bible says the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, to your descendants, I will give you this land. And what did Abraham do? Abraham, at this time, the Bible says, there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Did God tell him to build an altar? If you read the Bible, no. He builds the altar after the encounter with God. So how does that apply to us today? Have you had some experiences in life? Some places? You see, an altar is a place. All right? So the first place of altar is where? Heart is located in the heart. Then you can start having encounters on the earth. For example, you know, I use this as an example. Personally, when I began to understand some of these things, the first offering when I wake up in the morning when I wake up, I know. Okay, don't worry. I know your love is there for me. The first thing when I wake up, I must offer thanksgiving to God that saw me when I slept through my sleeping and I woke up. So that should be the first offering. The first offering should not be Instagram. The first offering should not be, let me just take a quick selfie, see what I look like, and then I do my makeup, and then I post it online before and after. This is what I ordered for. This is what I got. Are you getting me? You are offering another, that's another altar. My heart first should seek God when I wake up. And I'm telling you, when I miss it, because I do, at times, I just notice my day doesn't go well. Because God must always come first. God mustn't come after. God is not an afterthought. So God appears to him. He builds an altar. God didn't tell him to. He builds it. So encounters we have with God. So I realize right when I wake up, the first thing, right on my bed, I've built an altar there. When I wake up, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm awake. I'm alive. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you because it's of your mercies that have not been consumed. Great is your faithfulness, your compassions for me. And he says, your mercies are new every morning. Which means when I wake up today, the mercy of God is enough, is sufficient, is available for me throughout the day. And I key into that. Do you know what it means to go out and come back? You think it's ordinary? Do you know how many things, forces that are militating against you? You just stepped out of your house and you step back in. You think it's ordinary. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. So that's the first altar on my bed. Then I realized the second altar. Right beside my bed, I kneel down. And I just kneel down to say, thank you, Lord. So those are places. I'm just using myself, my own personal experience. And I notice when I miss that, I'm not doing something religious. I'm telling you the scripture. I must first encounter God when I wake up. The first person I want to encounter is the one who kept me alive. Kneel down and thank God. And next door to our room is a place when, you know, last year when we were learning about shut the door. And I took it literal. There's a small room in the house. I just said, that's the war room. I go inside there and shut the door. I just sit down there and just meditate. And then when I leave the place, I go downstairs. You know, since the lockdown last year, our living room has become the church building, the church office, the broadcasting studio, everything. That's my third altar in my house. So think about that. God will not force you to worship him. He won't force you to build the altar. You have to build the altar. So he builds this altar. That's the first thing. Remember, an altar is not a one-off. The sacrifices are daily. Look at, if you go down, we see the same Abraham in verse 8. The Bible says, you know, in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham, to your descendants will I give this land. He built an altar in verse 7 to the Lord who appeared to him. Look at verse 8. And he moves from there to the mountain east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel, and on the west, and Ai on the east, and there he builds an altar to the Lord. And what did he do there? He called on the name of the Lord. Please check somebody beside you, those around here. Please tell them, I hope you are not building an altar of sleep. Please check them, check them, check them, check them. Because that's another altar. Yeah, you can sleep on the altar. Amen. All right. So we see he builds another altar. What's that symbolic of? You get to every new place you get to. Please, the first thing you should do, raise an altar to God. You check into an hotel, you go on a conference where nobody's seen you, where, you know, your wife is not there, nobody's there, church people are not there, family are not there. The first thing you should do, build an altar. Get on your knees. I do that. Say, Lord, it is you and I for as long as I'm in this hotel. And this spot where I am, I'm going to be praying to you and worshiping. That's examples. You travel to any place you get to. And let me tell you some other altars, like encounters. Maybe you were driving, bang, you had an accident and you survived the accident. Anytime you pass through that place, please raise an altar. Remember God who delivered you there. Just thank him. Go into a time of sacrifice, of thanksgiving. That, Lord, thank you, I survived this place. You know, and let me tell you some other places too, you can build very funny altars. You go for a job interview, and you believe they will give you that job and they didn't give you, build an altar there. Anytime you remember that encounter, thank God, because he's only making all things work together for your good. All things, disappointments, what at times we call bad luck. Listen, it's for those who love God. If your heart is filled and full of the love of God, always raise an altar, whether things happen for you or not. I am telling you. You know, let me give you another example. Like, you know, I've not been very, 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 very faithful to this. But anytime I remember, there's a certain day I stepped into this country. It was on the 21st of June. And I came into this country as a missionary. I remember the plane flying into the United Kingdom and landing in London Heathrow. And God began to give me a pattern of ministry, a pattern of doing mission work, clearly giving me instructions. And anytime I remember June 21, I remember that day and I rededicate my life and I reset myself. You are here for the kingdom's sake. For the kingdom's sake. That day, I raise an altar and I thank God and I look back and I remember and I look at the journey. And this is roughly about 19 years ago. Yeah, 19 years ago, 2001. Is it 2001? No, 2002. Yeah, 2002. So I'm just giving us examples. So he goes to another place. He builds an altar. He worshiped God. You know, you get to another place. You know, I'm just using Andrew as an example. He said, yeah, you can do, you can watch TV. Because when you get into that hotel, don't watch TV. Some of us men know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden now, you know, there's something God told Cain. Says sin is lying at your door. You're meant to master it. Do you know how wicked, evil this world is today? You don't need to look for sin. Sin is, in fact, when you step out of this building, those of us here, and those of you watching online, the moment this service is over, there's something waiting to try this word you've just heard. There's another altar that is waiting for you. The altar of unforgiveness, the altar of regret, bitterness, the altar of, you know what? I'm going to fight those people. No. Remember, God told Cain, sin is at your door, but I've given you mastery over it. If you do what is right, you will be accepted. The right thing for us to do is always, first, the altar of our hearts, the altar on the earth, anywhere we go. If there's no altar of the heart, and you do the one on the earth, it may last just for a while, but because your heart is not right, you will soon forget. So these are just some things, you know, that I said, the New Testament application. We can't offer bulls, goats, and all that. And then, if you look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 2 to 4, I begin to round up now. Abraham goes back to the place where he first built the first altar. Now, when did he do this? This was years after. Okay? Because between chapter 12 and chapter 13, Abraham, his name was then, went down to Egypt. And he prospered. You know, when he was going down to Egypt, that's when he began to lie. Told his wife, Sarai, please tell them you are my girlfriend. No, you are my sister. Because if they land, you are my wife, they may kill me because they may want you. So, listen, that in itself is a whole message. Because I never read that when he got to Egypt, he raised an altar. He didn't. It was after he left Egypt. He now remembered God. Thank God. You know, they didn't kill me in Egypt. And then he goes back. The Bible said, look at it. Because he left Egypt with riches. He was very rich in livestock, in silver, in gold. He went on his journey, verse 3, from south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made at first. He goes back to that first place. Thank God he goes back there. But when he went down to Egypt, throughout Egypt, no altar. You know, he was prospering there. And you know, that's usually what happens to us. Bang, you get a little breakthrough, no more altar. No more God. You know, levels have changed. You know, I got to change my swagger now. You know, before you are, you know, staying at home for 1 year, I've learned to stay still. Before, I used to walk up and down when I'm ministering. So I've offered that as an offering. Just joking. It's because I'm restricted by this camera. That's why, you know, I wanted to show, you know, before you will walk like this, but now levels have changed. You walk with a swagger. All the while he was in Egypt, no altar. He prospered in Egypt, but excuse me, when he was coming out of Egypt, he came up with an attachment. His fire was corrupted. Hagar followed him. And that Hagar, you know what happened? Or you don't know? Maybe you should read it. The Hagar now became a clog in their will, a clog in his obedience and walk with God. It was the same Hagar he had to go commit adultery with, because that's adultery. He wasn't married to Hagar. And try to help God. You see, these are the consequences of when we forget altars, our consecration to God. In the midst of prosperity, in the midst of a change of lifestyle, in the midst of a change of circumstances, please don't forget the altar. Whether in good times, in bad times, in trying times, difficult times, times of plenty, times of lack, times of prosperity. He came out very rich in livestock, silver, gold. You know, you used to be single before. Now, you're married, double. And all of a sudden, you become double-minded. You know what a double-minded person is? He's unstable in all. Don't forget your personal altar. You know, I remember, you know, before I married, just using this as an example, I will wake up very, very early. I'm studying the Word of God and all that. And then, you know, I'm married and all that. You know, a little bit of changes happened, you know. Leke, congratulations, you got married on Friday, if you are watching, as Mrs. Silvana. But don't drop that altar. You know, I just realized that I still must maintain my own personal walk with God, married or not married. And my wife too must maintain her own personal walk with God. Let me tell you some of the frustrations I'm telling you as a pastor in marriages that we've seen. When you're trying, I'm saying this, spouses are trying to actually replace their own personal altar with a spousal altar. No, let's be praying together. Please don't misquote me. You need to pray together. Otherwise, you will faint together. But your own personal walk with God must not be replaced by your wife or your husband. And that's where couples get frustrated. You're trying to drag somebody into your own personal altar. Their own altar suffers in the process. And then you start fighting. No. Maintain your own personal. When you are right, I'm telling you, every other thing starts going right. So don't force your spouse to pray with you. You pray first. Pray with yourself first, I beg. Sorry, I don't know. Pray with God yourself. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your family. Pray everything. Just pray. Make sure the fire of your own personal altar never goes out. And then you can, everybody else can catch the fire. So I realized, I am an early riser and my wife rises up later. So I wake up, continue my consecration, study and all that. And, you know, let me tell you, I think I remember, maybe my wife won't remember, but I remember a bit of the frustration I had in the early days. I would want her to wake up early with me. And then she won't wake up. Now, let me now get to the reverse. The time now she is okay, do that, and she wants us to do, I'm a pastor, so if you like, look at me somehow. She will say, all right, let's do Bible study. Okay, let's pray. And you know, my wife is a prayer. You know, anybody who teaches is a teacher. Anybody who learns is a learner. Anybody who prays is a
prayer.
That's actually one of the reasons why I married my wife. She prays. I study. The Bible says ministry of word and prayer. I do the word, she prays. Please, don't replace that. Better pray for yourself. I'm just telling you now. So she will want us to now pray. And then she's praying. All right, let's pray. And then pastor. We're praying now. Please maintain your fire. And then you reach a compromise when you can combine the fires. I am telling you this, and what I'm saying, I'm not saying it lightly. Don't let us get too spiritual that we forget our own personal altar because we're trying to bring other people into that space where it's meant to be just us and God alone. That's a word of wisdom. All right, last one. So we see Abraham, he goes back. He comes out of Egypt. He's prospered. No altar in Egypt. No wonder a lot of compromises. He got riches. He got rich. But he got rich through compromise. And he suffered for it. Because Agar that came, it was there in that Egypt that Agar came. I wish I could show us the scripture today that you will see where it is just, the Bible is very interesting. It just shows us clearly that, yeah, the Egyptian came, also came with them. The Egyptian maid called Hagar. And Hagar became a problem. But he steps out of Egypt. He goes back to that altar. Thank God he went back to that altar. But of course, the virus he inherited from Egypt was still in the hard drive, corrupting the system. Finally, he builds another altar in Genesis chapter 13. Go down to verse 18. And when was this altar built? Next week we will learn more of these things. After Lot separated from him, the Bible says, then Abraham moved his tent. He went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. This was after Lot separated from him. Remember, the original instruction was to leave his father's house and leave everybody. Lot followed. Lot became a problem. But after he finally obeys, his obedience was now complete. He goes, builds an altar. Because God now told him, you know what? Look to the south, look to the north, look to the east, look to the west. I've given you everything. Anywhere, just walk. Anywhere you can walk, I've given you. He builds an altar after this encounter again with God. God gives you a promise. Remember, an altar on the earth, on the heart, before, altar on the earth. So just for the sake of everybody, you are saying, what can I do? What sacrifices can I make on these altars? basically three things. Please note this. Number one, everybody say prayer. Number two, praise. Number three, who knows number three? If you get it, I'll give you £10. My wife said it first. No, sorry. I'll give it to my wife because I know it's coming back to me in good measure. Sorry, my wife said it first. And did I show you my notes? I didn't show you. So when I know everything I give my wife will come back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Let me tell somebody who's married, you give your wife trouble, you will get it back. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. You trouble your wife like the wind, you will get the wild wind. And it goes both ways. Okay? I don't know why I said that. But sacrifice, prayer on our altar, praise, thanksgiving. Those are the offerings, the sacrifices we should now make daily. Amen. Let us pray. And thank you for your time today. Let's talk to the Lord. I'm just going to go out of the way. Give us 1 or 2 minutes to just ruminate and make a decision. See? We've got to make a decision today. And if you're watching online, you don't know the Lord, just invite the Lord into your heart. Say, just, Lord, I have learned today my first altar. It's my heart. I offer my heart to you. I surrender my heart to you. I invite you, give me a new heart, pour a new spirit in me, and help me to live for you from today.